The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
You don't want to miss, and I'm trying to overly emphasize it because it is that important. You don't want to miss the upcoming Baptist Leadership Conference, as many preachers will be here, and you'll be able to be sharpened in every aspect of your life. Also for the keynote speakers that will speak in the evening services and things of that nature, you will enjoy immensely. And so I hope that you do avail yourself to come, put it on your calendar, and be here in your place. You just enjoy it. And I think your spirit will be lifted. I think you'll be encouraged. I think that you'll grow in the Lord. I think you'll be glad that you came. It seems like that we prepare for it and prepare for it and prepare for it and prepare for it. And pastors, of course, preparing to teach their lessons to different classes that they've been instructed to do so in the morning times. And all that preparation, people flying in, having rides and stuff like that, and all the meals being prepared and all the singing and all the practice. It just seems like we prepare forever. And I was telling Brother Palmore out in the hallway, it comes and it goes just like a flash. I mean, just so ever quickly. It's almost like we do overseas. You know, we'll prepare for those huge conferences that we do, and we invite pastors from different nations to come, and those are very well attended, and we prepare and prepare and prepare and put together books and lessons and study and pray and send out invitations, and then all of a sudden you go and it's over in 3 days. And so it just doesn't seem right. Seems like it ought to be for about 6 months of preaching every single night. And I had one amen. Everybody else says, it's time to go home. Take your Bible and go to 1 Samuel, please, chapter 15 again, and look at that one verse, and then we'll read the verse that follows. The Bible says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than a fat of rams. For rebellion, notice verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Have you ever wondered how come God seems to use some people, but other people, not so? Have you ever wondered how come some people wind up hitting defeat, maybe early in their life or midlife, maybe late in their life, while others never seem to hit that defeat? You have two different types of people that you'll see in the Bible, both, of course, facing the same circumstances in their life, but made entirely different decisions. You'll see that there's those that quit and those that kept going to victory. A couple of examples. There's Demas over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. The Bible says, for Demas hath forsaken me. This is Paul giving testimony about Demas. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. There was a choice that he made. Yet the same one that gave testimony about him gave testimony of himself. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, for I am now ready to be offered. This is Paul speaking. For I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Two individuals. One chooses to follow the road of defeat. The other chooses to follow the road of victory. It's a choice. You can have two people attending the same church. One winds up defeated, and one winds up in victory, hearing the same sermons, hearing the same music. One winds up being a happy Christian. The other winds up being an unhappy Christian. We have a Bible college. Some kids come, and they make it through, while other kids quit. We have Sunday school teachers. Some Sunday school teachers teach and teach and teach, and they'll teach until the day they die. Other Sunday school teachers, not so. It's the same way in the choir. It's the same way with a mom and dad that instructs their children. It's the same way with a grandparent that tries to be faithful unto Christ. Why is that? Well, you have different examples. Here I gave you an example about two men. What about Orpah? Orpah, of course, if you think about her there in Ruth 1 and verse 14, you'll read that she kissed Naomi and left. That was a decision. Yet you'll read also, if you will, about Ruth. In Ruth 1 and 14, you'll see, but Ruth clave, that means that she clung too fast, she grasped. The Bible says that she clave onto her. So here's two daughters, same if you would please, mother-in-law. One decided, I'm going to leave. The other decided, I'm going to cling. Two choices. One led to defeat. The other led to victory. What about Lot and Abraham? Lot, the nephew of Abraham. By the way, both saw the blessings of God.
Yes.
Both saw God moving.
Yeah.
Both, no doubt, saw God answer prayer.
Mm-hmm.
One got excited about God. The other did not get excited about God. One was enthused about serving God and putting God first. The other was not enthused about serving God or putting God first. You'll see that Lot disobeyed God. He moved to a wicked city. He lost his testimony. He lost his family, lost his wife, lost everything, simply because he made a decision not to put God first. Abraham, however, Abraham later was called the very friend of God. Abraham was a man that left the Ur of the Chaldees to go to search for a city that he knew not. He stepped out simply by faith, trusting God. See, everybody has choices in their life. You can choose whether you want to serve Jesus Christ or not. Now, by the way, they didn't say this. You can choose to the degree that you want to serve Jesus Christ or not. You can choose tonight to be an on-fire Christian. You can choose tonight to put Jesus Christ first. By the way, we have young people. It's in our youth department. Some are on fire for God, and some are not. You say, that's because of circumstances. I beg a difference with you. That's because of choice. A person makes a choice of how they're going to serve Jesus Christ. Has nothing to do with the calling of God, has nothing to do with who your parents are, have nothing to do with the circumstances, if you will, please, that you use as an excuse to serve God. No, or an excuse not to serve God. No, not at all. Has everything to do with you making a personal choice with God himself. Now let's study tonight this one that's called Saul. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 9 in verse 1, here's what you're going to see about Saul. The Bible talks about him being a choice young man. The Bible says that Saul, before he became king, as a choice young man, was known as a goodly young man. That simply meant this, he was a superior person. Now because of that, he had a lot going for him. Now I'm going to show you something. The people that have a lot going for them have to be extra careful that they do not believe it's because of them that God is using them. I know preachers over the years that have gotten themselves in tremendous amount of trouble because they're so reliant on them and their skills. I know music people, if you will, if I may say it that way without being wrong, but people that know instruments and how to play them well, and those that are able to carry voices that would make you think that you were experiencing a piece of heaven right then and there. And I know people that are so well versed in their Bible that they think they've made it, therefore, they don't rely on God like they should. And because of that, they are wrapped up in their success. The one that has to be extra careful tonight, I believe, is the one that doesn't have to study extra hard, yet you can still pass a test. The one that has to be extra careful tonight is the one that knows how to do it, whatever it is, and it, since that person knows how to do it, will always turn out successful because they know what button to press. They know when to turn the wheel. They know exactly how to make things happen. And if you're not careful, if you are that type of person tonight, you can become totally reliant on you and not on God to the point that you become foreign to God, God becomes foreign to you, and later on you reap the whirlwind of that simply because of the fact you are wrapped up in your own success. This was a choice young man. This young man was a successful young man. This young man was superior among all the people, so much the so that he caught the people's eyes, so much the so that everybody looked upon him. You'll see in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 1 that it was Samuel that anointed Saul as being the captain over all the Lord's inheritance. You'll find out in 1 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 15 that it was Saul again. Saul, before he became king, you'll find out that it was Saul that went down to Gilgal. And as he was in Gilgal, the people said that they were going to make him a king before the Lord, and they did. And by the way, that was not God's will. But because of the fact that they wanted a king like other nations had kings, they decided they were going to look for the prospect that looked the best to be able to anoint him as their king. Success. He was so wrapped up in his success that he forgot who was the creator that gave the creation him the success. May I say tonight, I'm all for success. But I'm all for you giving God the glory for every little bit of success that God gives you in your life. I tell you for sure, I know what I'm talking about. I've been preaching for a long time, and I see people that get so wrapped up in themselves that they think that they are the answer to all humanity's problems, and yet they're struggling in their own life. And can I tell you, the person that is struggling in their own life does not be able to help as many people because they've got tunnel vision, and it's all about them. So statement number one, as we study Saul tonight, here's what we understand, that he was successful. Then you'll see that he gave a sacrifice. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 12, there's a portion of the verse there that says this. It says, I forced myself, it says, therefore, 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 12, I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. Let me tell you the story behind this statement. Saul was now in his second year of reigning as king of Israel. The armies had been formed, and all of a sudden, Jonathan, his son, decides that he's going to take some of the Israelites, and he's going to attack the garrison. So he takes some of the Israelites, and he decides that he's going to attack the garrison. There's about 3,000 of them that gets to go down, and they're going to attack the Philistines. But when they get there, the Philistines had gathered slightly more against them than Jonathan, he had gathered against them. So now you have 3,000 to 30,000 chariots. That's a big opposition. That's 10 to 1. Now you've got 6,000 horsemen that are gathered. And down there around the sands of the seashore, all of a sudden you begin to get the idea that probably the Israelites are going to lose. So Saul, being somebody very impatient, here's what he does. Saul decides, I really need Samuel to show up. And Samuel's not showing up, but somebody has to get a hold of God. And so I just think I'll take the place of the priest. And I'm going to enter in, and I'm going to get the priest to be able, I'm going to take the place of the priesthood and get God to be able to bless the sacrifices and the offerings so that God can render that which is a victory. Here's what he was doing. He was forcing himself in. Now, here's what I found out. You let God be the one that gives you opportunity. You let God be the one that opens your door. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. I can really sing, and if Brother Palmore only knew how good I could sing, boy, he'd have me singing every single service. Don't you force it. Well, I tell you what, if that pastor, yeah, I'm talking about that pastor. Oh, yes, I am. I'm talking about that Pastor Wells. If he only knew my ability to be able to teach, he'd have me teaching all the classes that are adult classes and dismiss every teacher because, after all, I'm good. Be careful not to try and force yourself in. You know, allow God to be the one that positions you. I think those that are hungry after positions oftentimes fail in the grace of God because God is the one that opens doors and God is the one that shuts doors. You know, does it amaze you that how God chose Gideon as he was threshing in the wheat threshing floor? Does it amaze you? Does it amaze you how God would use a Moses, and Moses, very inferior, very much not confident, very much a stammering voice, But yet God used him. Does that amaze you? Does it amaze you tonight to find out that God used Rahab the harlot? Does that amaze you? Does it amaze you that only 50 to 55 days after Peter had denied the church, denied those that were working with him, denied the Savior, denied the faith, as he's sitting there and he's warming his hands beside the enemy's fire, and as all of a sudden the maiden speaks up and says, you're one of them. And he says, I know not what you're talking about. I am not one of them. Does it amaze you? Here was a man that was very boisterous. Here was a man that was very powerful with his tongue. And yet here was a man that turned coward in his heart, would not identify, would follow Christ to the cross, hiding behind pillars and denying the Lord every single step of the way. And never one time during that time of journey to the cross do you see that Peter was standing out of the shadows and saying, that is my Savior, and I'm proud of him, and I stand beside him. Never one time do you see that. And can I tell you, what took place on that day was a dreadful shame for Peter's life, but yet there was a time later on, after the backsliding, after being somebody that denies the church and denies the Christians and denies the faith and denies the Savior, and only 50 to 55 days after he denied all those things, God used big mouth Peter to preach on the day of Pentecost. You say, but God, that's not right. I tell you, dear friend, you and I tonight do not have a right to tell God what is right. You and I are supposed to find the will of God and walk in it. For some of you, that means that you live in a house where mom and daddy don't love God, and you hear curse words all the time, and people are drinking, and people are smoking, and people are doping, and that's where God has you right now. But you don't have to follow that type of crowd. You can have a testimony for God. You can do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to bow your head and just proclaim it's all over, but at the very same time, don't push your way into a situation whereby you're going to wind up ruined. You know what I find out? I find out that if I put the wrong person in the wrong place at the wrong time, it could be detrimental to their growth as a Christian. Not that they're not good, not that they're not growing, it's just they're not ready. I've said often, we have three different types of Sunday school here. We have an A Sunday school department, that's driving crowd, and our A bus routes. We have a B Sunday school department. We have a C Sunday school department. Every single one of those departments have different caliber of young people that come in. I could take an A Sunday school teacher and put them in a C Sunday school program, and it won't work. I can take a C Sunday school worker and put them in an A Sunday school program, and many times it won't work. And let me stop there to say this. Every single ministry, A and B and C, 11 bus routes, 70-some Sunday school classes, whatever the case may be, can I tell you, every single one of those ministries are important. Our special needs ministry is important. Our choirs are important. Our clubs are important. Our sports program, it's all important. Now, if it wasn't that way, you'd have a church that would be out of balance. You need a balance in a church. We need to have the fellowships and the chili cook-offs. We do. We need to have different types of socials, and we need to have that. That makes a healthy church. You say, well, I tell you what, I just wish, preacher, that we just have preaching all the time. Yes, that's what I wish. Well, you're the only one. Well, preacher, I just wish that, man, we could have fellowship all the time. Not many like that either. There has to be a balance. By the way, there has to be a balance in teaching and preaching. There has to be. I can't have evangelists to come in and fill the pulpit all the time. I can't do that. That's a different style of preaching. I can't have somebody just to come in that's a lecturer and just lecture all the time. That's a different delivery and style. You know, when you go to eat, you just don't sit down and say, okay, you got all this huge buffet. You don't just go to the buffet and pick up one thing. No, I've seen you. You go and you get a little bit of this and 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 a little bit of this, and then you go back four other times. You know why? Because you like variety. Don't you thank God that all of the people that sing at Parkside do not sing the same way? Don't you thank God that God can use their talents and ability? Yeah. Don't you thank God the ushers don't all usher the same way? Don't you thank God that all the guys that work the doors and the ladies that are greeters when you come into church, aren't you thankful that people don't greet you the same way? I'm saying this tonight. Here we had somebody that was wrapped up, I believe, Saul was wrapped up in himself. He thought that it was because of him, and he got caught up in himself, and the people got caught up into his personality. And because of that, now he even thinks that he can take the place of the priest, and now God is going to bless him and bless his son and be able to bring great victories throughout their life just because he was going to force himself in. You cannot force yourself in. Let God be God. Let God use you. Thank God for your personality. We're all different. Thank God for that. God uses different people, different ways. God gives you the ability that he doesn't give somebody else. Thank God for that. I'm saying this. Saul was successful. You can see that in the beginning of his reign. You can see that Saul decided that he was going to be the one that was going to give the sacrifice. Then you see Saul and his sin. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verses 24 through 26. Here's what you see, that Saul sinned against his own people by not meeting their needs, the needs that they had in their life. You'll also see in 1 Samuel chapter 15 in verse 3 that God told Saul that when you go in there to destroy the Amalekites, and what I want you to do is I want you to destroy everything. In other words, when you go in there, I want you to destroy every man, every woman, every infant, every child, every oxen, every sheep, every camel, every ass. I want you to destroy them all. He didn't do that. You see, it all started because he was caught up. Oh, please, I beg you tonight, please get this. Whenever you start to feel like, man, I got it. It's good. I got it. I'm okay, man. I got it. I got this. I got this. I got this. Hey, it's good, man. I got this. Maybe that's time that you ought to understand that God don't want you to have it. Maybe it's time that you back off just a little bit and get back to when you had nothing and go back to God and say, God, please help me. Please help me. God, I need your help more than ever. It's when we start to rely on our own knowledge and abilities that we start having marriage problems. So when we start to try and figure it out and say, this is the right way, instead of consulting God that is the one that ordained marriage. It's when we try to figure out, this is the way I think. Yes, it is. This is the way I think I'm supposed to rear children. It's when we start to rely on ourselves and ask God not how to do it. I'm saying if we would become a people tonight that would be totally reliant on God, forget what you know. Ask God to help you. Ask God to give you some wisdom. By the way, somebody came to me and said, preacher, I'm having problems. I've done this and it doesn't work. And I'm having problems. I've done this and it doesn't work. And I've had problems. I've done this and it doesn't work. But preacher, here's what I'm going to do next. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. What are you talking about? You did this and it didn't work. You did this and it didn't work. And you figured it out and you figured it out. You figured it out. You figured it out and it didn't work. If it didn't work then and you're the one that figured it out, pray tell me why you think that your wisdom is going to help you to figure it out this time. I'm saying this. He was successful in his own eyes and in the eyes of the people. He decided to take the place to force himself in to an office that was not his. Then you see that there was a sin. He was told to go into that which is the Amalekite area and to destroy all that was in that city. But yet the Bible says that Saul took captive, chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, he took captive that which was the king. And he took the spoil thereof. In verse 15 of that same chapter, you see this, that Saul said, and talking to Samuel, he says that they're the ones that brought him the Amalekites. And he kept the best sheep, by the way. He kept the best oxen, by the way. Why? I think because he thought that it didn't matter. Stay with me. And I think that's what happens in Christianity. Because in Christianity, come on, we live in the United States of America. I love our country. I'd rather live here than any other place under heaven. And I've been to many, 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 many countries. But I'd rather live here than any other place under heaven. But can I tell you, we got it good. I'm just being honest, we have it good. Very few people struggle in our country. Very few. Even those that are welfare recipients and living off the government, can I tell you, they've got it better than the richest person in many other areas in countries around the world. We got it good. You got comfort tonight. I preach in places overseas, they don't have buildings like this. They don't have pews like this. They don't have air condition. They don't have nice instruments. Many places I preach, it's just a lean-to, so to speak, or an open-end building. Remember, in some of the places I used to preach years ago when I first started the conferences in the Philippines, I'd be preaching, there'd be a cat that would run across behind me. Shocked me, didn't shock anybody else. That cat was home. I remember one time I was preaching, and all of a sudden, down the aisle comes a rooster. See, how did he do that? Just the way I said, down the aisle he came. He's comfortable. Preaching in different factories and different places around the world and trying to give the gospel and grabbing as many people as we could, drawing them into a mass type of evangelism type of thing, and to preach the gospel, the wonderful riches of the saving grace of God, and seeing people come to know Christ as Savior. Hey, that's a wonderful thing. But can I tell you, the thing that can mess all that up is sin. I've seen many people, all of a sudden they start to pet their sin. Well, you know, it's not that bad. Then why did God say it was that bad? Well, you know, it's going to be okay. I can handle it. As long as you're doing this, buddy, it's handling you. See, the Bible talks about this over in Psalms. Psalm 66 and verse 18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Whatever happened to old-fashioned religion? Whatever happened to a time when we really came to God? And we got a load on our knees and said, God, if you don't come through, I'm through. God, I need you to help me. I need your power. I need your wisdom. I need you to be the one that I remember the day when I was close to you. And I want that again. I want that again. I want that again. And can I tell you, you can have that again if you simply come to God the way that God says you're supposed to come to him. And God will bless you. And God will help you. And God will restore you. But you've got to decide you want it. It's a choice. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, he said that he that covereth his sins, that's plural, shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. How do you view your sin? Oh, come on, I love you. I'm not trying to be mean tonight. I promise you before the Lord. But there's a great concern in my heart for God's people, and especially the people that I love the deepest, which is you, that we can get so used to just coming to church and leaving the same way we came. It's no different than any other religion. It's not. We come, we sit, we perform a song, we hear a sermon, we sit through it, half asleep, half awake, half into it, half out of it, playing with the person next to us, talking a little bit here, talking a little bit there, attention diverted. And then we wonder. We wonder why God is not doing great things in our life. Can I tell you, if you want the unusual to be done in your life, you have to work and you have to pray and you have to sacrifice. If not, all you're going to have is the ordinary. And the Christianity that I see today, to me, that is ordinary, is not valued very high. Because there's more to it than that. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about people that get all tied up in themselves. I'm talking about people that, in essence, they almost become their own gods. I'm talking about people that decide that they would take the place of the holy because it doesn't matter. I'm talking about how people don't value the Word of God the way that the Word of God once used to be held, embraced, and valued. And then when sin all of a sudden begins to take root, they look at their sin because of their stature. They look at their sin as being, oh, it doesn't matter. It's okay. I've sinned and I've done this so long, it doesn't matter. And the relationship begins to dwindle. Let me show you, lastly, if I may, Saul's sincerity. Look at it, if you would, please. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 24 and following. The Bible says, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. Well, praise the Lord, he saw it. But why did he see it? I have sinned and I've transgressed, it says, the commandment of the Lord, it says in thy words, because I have feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again unto me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected thee from being king over Israel. And Samuel turned about to go. The Bible says, and as he turned about to go away, he laid hold, says, upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. He said, look, don't leave me now. Wait a minute. I sinned. I did wrong. This is Saul. I did wrong. Samuel said, no, wait a minute. He said, you've rejected the king. You've rejected the king, the real king. You've rejected God. He begins to walk away. Then all of a sudden you'll see that Saul becomes kind of infuriated. Saul becomes kind of angered. If you look down in verse 30, the Bible says this, and he said, I have sinned. He says, yet honor me now. You know, even people that sin, they still want to have honor. The Bible says, I pray thee before the elders of all my people. See, there's that thing of I'm a stately individual. The Bible says, and before Israel, it says, turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. I think he was doing it because he wanted his standard to be recognized again as being that lofty individual. May I say this tonight? Who cares about the standard? Why don't we decide, instead of being concerned about the position, that we're more concerned about the person? And as we get close to the person, God will take care of the position. You know what I found out when I was first entering into the ministry? This was me. I said, God, I paid the price. I went to Bible college. So God, I'm praying that you'll open the door for me to go full time. I had preachers that told me, you ought not do that, preacher, because God will never, you ought to be willing to go bivocational. I said, for some, that might be what God wants. That's not what God's placed in my heart. I said, I believe that God can open a door for me to be able to full-time into the ministry. I really believe that. And I'm not going to settle for anything less. And so I prayed and I fasted. That's a foreign word, isn't it, fasted? But I prayed and I fasted and I fasted and I prayed and I fasted and I prayed and I fasted and I prayed. And we had a church in Lake City that called me up, Lake City, Florida. My wife will remember this. They said, why don't you come out and preach a youth rally? But the church was different. You ever walk into church, it's different? The church was different. And I went out there to preach to the young people, and the young people showed up, and you know, they were deciding to wash a bus, and the girls were showing up in bikinis. You know, and here I am, it's my turn to preach. But even after I got done preaching, here's what the pastor said. He said, my young people need that. He said, would you please come? He said, I own a farm. You will never have need of food. I own a farm, hundreds of acres. You can have all the food you want. He said, I will pay you big money if you come. We stayed in a lavish room that night. This pastor had a mansion that was like second to none. I mean, wasn't it, honey? I mean, mirrors everywhere. The white, plush, thick carpet that used to be in houses of revered houses, nice houses of years ago, where you walk and you couldn't find your feet. You didn't know if you had them anymore. I mean, that was good stuff. He said, I'm going to buy you whatever car you want. I mean, he made it nice. But that night, you remember what we did? We took that dollar bill and we tore it in half. And I said, honey, here's your half and here's my half. I said, let's just decide we're just going to preach the Bible and love people and help people and be soul winners and teach what the Bible teaches. Let's decide we're not going to compromise, and let's decide we're going to go forward, and let's decide we will never turn back or be bought out for money. Today, she still has her half dollar. Today, I still have my half dollar. We've been tempted to glue it together several times and go for coffee. But I'm glad we made some decisions back then. Then later on, God called us to Brooklyn, New York. We lived in Brooklyn, New York, and we wound up reaching a lot of street kids. We wound up, I didn't know you weren't supposed to go in gangs. I didn't know that back then. I didn't know. I was just a guy. Don't forget, I came up on a farm. And so when they were in gangs, and I'd walk up and say, hey, what are you doing? I had a suit on. They thought I was a policeman. You know, they said, hey, you're here to lock us up? I said, no, I'm here to talk to you. Talk to us about what, man? Come on, dude. I said, let me tell you about Christ. Oh, boy, did they scatter. But I got one or two of them.
Amen.
Led several to Christ. That youth department started to grow. Those kids started going to Bible college. Several of them now are in mission fields around the world. They write me all the time saying, boy, I'm so glad you led me to Christ. I had one guy that came, and I was preaching against the evil rock music on a Sunday morning. That's not a way to draw a crowd back. And I was preaching against the evil rock music in my teen department. Pastor would preach upstairs. I'd preach downstairs. We'd fill that place up. And boy, I was preaching against the evil rock music. I remember Rico. Rico was one of these karate guys. And he brought a star. He could throw those stars, you know. He got mad at me. He said, he told some of the guys in the youth department, he said, next week when I come back, he said, I'm putting a star in his forehead just right here. He said, you watch. He brought some of his gang friends. They sit in the back. Never will forget it. Some of my fellas heard that. Don't forget, I led some of them to Christ out of gangs too. And all of a sudden, they took Rico in the bathroom. They beat him so bad. They broke his nose. I mean, he's got blood running down his face. They popped his ear. I mean, whole nine yards. He came in. He said on the back row, he was just as good as gold. During the invitation, Rico got saved. Do you remember, honey?
Amen.
Rico got saved. I still have his star. Rico got saved. He came up later and he gave me a star. I still kept it. I've got it in my souvenir thingy. And Rico now is serving God, has been for many, many years on the mission field. Wait a minute. You know what that is? That's just God. That's what that is. And yet there's many, many young people around our place that needs Christ. There's many, many more people that can be reached with the Lord's gospel, you know, and we get to have the privilege to have a soul-winning church. Very few around nowadays, but we get the privilege to be able to teach you how to take the gospel and show other people their need of Christ. And we watch how God begins to work in their heart. I'm going to say it, I'm so proud of Matthew. Man, I'm so proud of Matthew. Came in my office, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, we had the privilege to sit there and I showed them how to be saved, and I appreciate Brother Ginger, Mrs. Ginger, and others that have worked and loved, and so many other people, and had the privilege to show Matthew in my office how to be saved. He bowed his heart, received Christ, got baptized the next Sunday. You know, God's working in his life. But, you know, that's not a strange thing. God does that over and over again. If you'll just let God work in your life and let God use you, God will do that over and over and over and over again. But don't ever, I beg you tonight, don't ever get caught up in yourself. I beg you tonight, don't ever be one of these people that think that all of a sudden you've arrived. Don't be somebody that you think, well, I tell you what, here I am, and boy, I tell you what, boy, God's really going to use me. When you start thinking that and you stop begging him to use you, God stops using you. It's not a matter of who you are. It was Bob Jones Sr. that said this many years ago. God is not interested in your ability. God is interested in your availability. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe that God would take a young person. I believe that God would take an adult. And if you just lay yourself out before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not much, but everything I've got is yours. I just give it all to you. It's all yours. And God, however you want to use me, wherever you want to use me, God, I give it to you. When you do that and you stop thinking that you're the successful one, you stop trying to push your way into a position, and you understand that sin is sin. Hey, let me give you the opposite of this, and I'm done. It's not even an outline. It's just something I wrote down. I wrote it down just 5 minutes before church, but watch this. Here's how it went. He was successful in his own eyes and successful in the people's eyes, and because of that, they anointed him king. And then he decided he's going to take the place of the priest and do the sacrifice. Wrong position, pushed himself in. Then he decided that he was not going to obey the voice of the Lord, and he sinned, where God said, you need to destroy the whole city, and he did not. And he sinned. Later on, you see his sincerity, but his sincerity did not match up because of perhaps a wrong motive. I don't know, but it did not match up because his sincerity was not true. Let's flip it. Let's say tonight that you become a sincere Christian. Let's say tonight that you take your sin serious. Let's say tonight that you decide that you will seriously sacrifice, give to the Lord, and work hard for God and for his service. Let's say tonight that if you do that, then I believe this, that you will have success. Got to do that, because God is God. But God would take somebody that's a nobody, and God will use that nobody for his honor and for his glory. You know why? Because that nobody realizes that it is God. And God gets all the glory out of that. Submit yourself to a holy God. You've got the choice tonight, defeat or victory. It's choice. You have got to make that personal choice and live it out each and every day. Father, we thank you for tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.